I am Jolene Wolfley, Chair of the Development Review Board. We will begin the December 1st meeting of the Development Review Board. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We are conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we're under a public health emergency. Please keep your audio on mute and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it's important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask questions of the moderators, who are Maggie Gould and Jay Rodenbeck. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relative to the meeting. I would like the DRB members to introduce themselves.
Good morning, this is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority.
Good morning, Robert Webb, Code Enforcement.
Good morning, this is Cheryl Sommerfeld with the Parks and Recreation Department.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology.
Dean Wolfenbarger with Transportation.
And again, I'm Jolene Wolfley, Chair of the DRB. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the Development Review Board through Zoom, and two, allow DRB members to provide electronic signatures for approved plats and plans after the meeting rather than all during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Robert Webb, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules to allow for this virtual meeting and to allow some electronic signatures after the meeting. A note for applicants. Those DRB members who approve of your site plan, plat, or infrastructure list today will electronically sign those documents sometime following the meeting. There will be some signing for anything that's ready at the end of the meeting. This is to expedite the agenda. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck routes documents through DRB members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all of their utility signatures. This is the quickest path to get signatures completed. Then the applicants will receive an email copy of the signed document. If you approve a delegation, you will need to complete delegation items with the appropriate DRB members and then send PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck to get electronic signatures at a later date. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, please alert us to changes on the agenda.
Item number 5, PR 2021-5222, application SI 2021-01237 for EPC site plan sign-off. The agent has requested a deferral to January 5th.
Is there a motion to defer item 5, which is at 3615 Highway 528, to January 5th?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Robert Webb, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 5, PR 2021-5222, EPC site plan sign-off 2021-1237 to January 5th. Ms. Gomez.
Item number 13, PR 2021-5009, application SD 2021-00091 for preliminary and final plat. The agent has requested a deferral to January 5th.
Is there a motion to defer item 13, which is at the northeast corner of Coors and Fortuna, to January 5th?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Robert Webb, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair, approves. So is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 13, PR 2021-5009, SD 2021-91 to January 5th. Ms. Gomez.
Item number 16, PR 2019-2738, application SD 2021-00018 for preliminary and final plat. The agent has requested a deferral to December 15th.
Is there a motion to defer item 16, which is at 5900 Manal Boulevard, to December 15th?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve the motion.
Robert Webb, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Gene Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 16, PR 2019-2738, preliminary final plat 2021-18 to December 15th. Ms. Gomez?
And the last announcement I have for this morning is the agents for item number 15, PR 2019-2609, have withdrawn their application.
Okay, so that is withdrawn per the applicant. Okay. Is Tim Solinsky here in the room at this time? Tim Solinsky? Okay, all right, we will keep item 18 on the agenda for now. Okay, and just to review for everyone, item six, five and six are deferred, 10 is deferred, 13 is deferred, 15 is withdrawn, 16 is deferred. And so we will be hearing all the rest of the items on this agenda. And there are a historic number of sketch plots this morning. So you're here making history. And so we have a pretty long agenda today. We're gonna try to move through as efficiently as possible. Definitely if you're in a sketch plot, you might wanna use your morning doing some other business and come back and check in on us at 11 or 12. But we usually take breaks about every 2 hours and we'll just try to work through everyone. But this will probably take several hours today to get through this agenda. So, okay. And also as we're looking at things and looking at possible deferrals, the DRB meets in December on the 8th and the 15th. DRB will not be meeting on the 22nd or 29th. And then the next DRB meeting of the new year, 2022, will be on January 5th. And we'll meet, I believe, are we meeting every week in January, Ms. Gould? We're just getting our calendar finalized for 2022. I think
this is Madam Chair, yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so. So I think.
Madam Chair, you've been muted.
Okay, thank you. All right, now that we have our agenda set for today, I want to mention to people who are here as public or adjacent property owners, not agents, your time to speak will call for you for each case. And first you'll hear from the applicant team, and then we'll have public comment. The applicant has an opportunity then to respond to the public comment, and then we'll go to DRB comments. So that's how that rolls for any item in which there's public testimony that people would like to give. If there are any technical issues, I will end the DRB meeting and we will resume at 1 p.m. using the same Zoom link and phone number. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant meet to discuss the projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. In 2017, the IDO was adopted and increased the scope of site plans being reviewed by the DRB and thus increased due process requirements. The DRB staff members apply the standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. I would now like to introduce staff and swear them in. Ms. Maggie Gould is our Development Services Manager. Ms. Gould, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is Senior Planner to the DRB. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck, yes, I do.
Mr. Shahab Biazar is our City Engineer. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar, I do.
And I'd like to introduce Nicole Sanchez, Legal Counsel to the DRB.
Good morning.
Good morning, thank you. Okay, we're ready to begin our robust agenda. And first up is item one, PR 2020-4447, site plan SI 2021-1885. This is for AECOM, Public Service Company of New Mexico at 2200 Sunport Boulevard. And Mr. Russell Brito, are you representing this case?
Yes, Madam Chair, I am.
Okay, well, welcome back, Mr. Brito. It's nice to see you. We've missed you here. Would you go ahead and give us your name, formally your company and address?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair, board members. It's also very good to see you all. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I am Russell Brito with PNM 2401 Aztec Road Northeast, 87107.
Mr. Brito, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I so affirm.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead and give us an overview of this request.
All right, well, the site plan before you is for the Sagebrush subdivision. It is located at the intersection of University Boulevard and Sunport Boulevard. I am not a designer or a professional engineer, so with me today are Scott Medina, professional engineer from AECOM, Derek Kastendieck and Ashley Six from PNM to answer any technical questions you might have. It's a 21-acre site, will be a critical part of the electric transmission and distribution system. It's intended to serve the southeast quadrant of the metropolitan area. And we have been coordinating with the Environmental Health Department because the site is a part of the former Yale landfill. Again, as I noted, because of its location, its intention is to provide additional service capacity in the southeast quadrant of Albuquerque. We always want to locate substations where the demand is and where the load growth is occurring. The city of Albuquerque is the owner of record. They granted PNM a permanent easement, and that permanent easement gives PNM the proprietary right to make this application. PNM fulfilled all the applicable IDO notice requirements for a public meeting, including notices to neighborhood associations and adjacent property owners. When we noticed the neighborhood associations and offered a pre-application neighborhood meeting, we got no response from any of the affected neighborhood associations. And when we noticed neighborhood associations and property owners about the application, I received one inquiry from an adjacent property owner just wanting to confirm the DRB meeting details and wanting some more details about the wall height. We are asking for one exception, and that is an administrative approval request for an alternative landscape plan. And that's because the site is a former landfill. We want to minimize how much water gets into the edges. And we want to focus the landscape to where it's most visible along the university frontage so we can have a lush, nice streetscape on university. It's not really visible from Sunport Boulevard because Sunport is very elevated and has a wall and existing landscape that block view of the site. To the north is an abandoned rail spur, Water Utility Authority facility, and an existing parking lot. To the east are automobile storage and additional Sunport property. And so it's really only visible to the public from university. And that's where we want to get the most bang for the buck by placing the landscape there. And we are awaiting administrative approval for that. We have received and are grateful for your DRB comments and guidance. And we do have some outstanding issues, but we believe they are minor and can be addressed very quickly. In fact, Scott Medina with AECOM and his colleagues, I think, have already addressed most of them. And so in closing, we're asking for approval with delegation. We will fulfill any resulting conditions of approval, and we want to begin remediating the landfill and construction on this site early next year. And with that, thank you very much, and we'll stand for any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brito. That was very helpful, your overview. And let me just ask before I forget. So the landscaping plan you showed us was a schematic, and then the one you submitted for administrative review as an alternative landscaping plan, is that signed by a landscape architect?
Madam Chair, the landscape plan that we submitted with the DRB packet is the same landscape plan that we submitted to the planning director or his, her designee for the administrative alternative landscape plan. And that will be adjusted per any changes that we have to make to the DRB site plan to accommodate any comments or conditions. It was not designed by a landscape architect, but it was Scott Medina at AECOM who laid out that landscape plan.
Okay, so we have a requirement that the landscape plans are signed by a landscape architect, so that can be under advisement for you. Let's turn now to the public. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item one at 2200 Sunport Boulevard Southeast? If you would raise your hand, you can turn on your video and raise your hand, or if you hover down at the bottom of your screen, icons pop up. There's a smiley face icon that says reactions. If you click on that, there's a raise your hand feature there. If you're on the phone, you press star 9 and it will raise your hand on your tile here. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Let's then go to board comments, Water Authority.
Thank you, Madam Chair. good morning, this is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. For this particular project, we do have an availability statement that's 211107 that has been issued and provides the conditions for service. We understand the substation is just looking for an irrigation service that is to be provided by a non-potable main. There's basically a larger main that fronts the property and a smaller stub that's just southwest. The requirement for service is to extend that stub from the southwest along the frontage so that you can gain a service connection for irrigation. That would be a public infrastructure improvement. We would typically see that on an infrastructure list. So that non-potable main is something we will be looking for on an infrastructure list. The project is within the service area. There's no pro rata owed. So there's no payments required for that. And there's no board approval required at this time. We're asking that the utility plan be revised to show connection to the 6-inch non-potable main south of the property. There is a sewer main in the property, and the utility plan does show that being capped. What we are needing is where it is still on the property. It seems like in that northwest corner, it's still somewhat on the property. We do need a public sewer easement over that water authority sewer main, anywhere that it's still on the property. So it's typically 20 feet wide, could be watered depending on the depth. But that's something we'll need, assuming that the cap occurs on the property and that there's still some sewer main remaining. Also related to that, the city is the underlying property owner. They're the primary beneficiary of that existing sewer main. So there's sewer main being removed. What we're looking for is some sort of approval by the city of Albuquerque, the property owner, for basically making it harder for them to connect to sewer. So I'm willing to talk to you about that if you want to meet with me offline to know what that might look like. But something from the city as the underlying property owner approving the removal of that sewer main. They still have other connection options down in Sunport, but this, I think, was primarily intended to serve this overall parcel under which PNM has an easement. So we'll need that. Other than that, just some notes provided just generally in terms of what we're looking for in terms of easements, and that concludes our major comments. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay, and Mr. Medina, I don't know if we want to bring you into the record and then you're free to ask questions. Scott Medina?
Yes.
Okay, can you go ahead and state your name, company, and address?
My name's Scott Medina. I'm with AECOM, and I'm the project engineer for this submittal.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Do you have questions for Mr. Carter?
The intention of the project is to completely remove that sewer as it will be in conflict with a multitude of our installations. So that will be removed all the way past the property line. So we'll be vacating that easement. The only utility installation will be a 1-inch meter that will remain within the public right-of-way that will serve for the irrigation, for the landscaping. And so that's the only thing. I did want to work out with you whether we want to use the potable water line for that meter installation or the reuse. That reuse, if it does reside in Sunport, will provide a very difficult path as far as our ability to access it. We don't want to disturb any of the landscaping on Sunport, and that would be our only path to access that reuse line without tearing up a whole bunch of asphalt in University Boulevard. So I wanted to discuss with you possibly offline on which would be the preferable water source for this property. It's a very minimal amount of landscaping that's going to require irrigation because we're not supposed to be providing, you know, or adding any water to this site because it's a landfill site. So we want to keep that to a minimal. So that's the only outstanding question I really want to work out with you.
This is the Blaine for Water Authority. I'm happy to meet with you to discuss that. As of today, the requirement is to connect to non-potable. It is in University. It is a 6-inch stub north of the intersection. That's the connection point. And it'd be a short extension from there and then a meter to non-potable. So that's the requirement. I'd be happy to discuss with you in terms of any specifics regarding the landfill that may impact that, but that's the way the statement was written. So that's what we're looking for this time. Okay. I'm an understanding in terms of if you are removing the sewer line, so it's outside of the property, we will not require an easement. I don't think there's an easement today in that this was a city property. It used to be a city water pipe. So there's not an easement today. So if there's not an easement today and you're moving it such that it's not on the property anymore at all, we will not need an easement for this project, for the sewer line.
Thank you. Mr. Biazar, do you have anything to add to this discussion at this point?
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. No, we just need to coordinate with the city to ensure that they will not need the sewer for, I don't know how far the PNM easement goes, but do we need to service anything in the future beyond PNM's easement?
Okay, and so that would be
coordinated with the, I believe Aviation owns the property, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Is there anyone here from City Aviation? If you could let me know that. All right, thank you. Let's go ahead and keep going. Code enforcement.
Robert Webb, code enforcement. Just have some development notes. So development must meet all applicable standards within the Albuquerque International Sunport Sustainable Airport Master Plan. The facility plan, the electric system transmission and generation, and amendment to that plan. Must meet the guidelines of EPC's review and approval of site plan EPC in November of 2020, and specifically finding number 22 and condition number 23 per CEO James Aranda. Site plan, its proposed uses will require new substation capacity to serve its electricity demand, including a new transmission corridor and a substation that are interrelated to a development-initiated project that has gone through a public involvement process and has been approved by the Environmental Planning Commission. The approval processes and standards of the facility plan, electric system transmission and generation 2010 to 2020 will apply to these necessary electrical facilities as the finding. The condition is the applicant shall identify all electric facilities, including structures and poles on the property and adjacent to the property, and then clearly note them on the site plan and any future site plan, including the location of a new transmission corridor near the site and the substation abutting the site. It is the applicant's obligation to determine if existing and new utility easements of rights of way are located on or adjacent to the property and abide by any condition terms of those easements. Site plan must comply with all applicable provisions of the IDO and the DPM and other adopted city regulations, including but not limited to the IDO zone district in our SU, electric utility use specific standards 43E8, 5.2 sensitive lands analysis and environmental health approval for landfill development, South Yale, APO airport protection overlay zone standards apply. 5.6 landscaping buffering screening, including the alternative landscaping plan. 5.13 operation and maintenance. And 6.4 referrals to commenting agencies, which is Kirtland Air Force Base and the Sunport. Documentation that has been submitted by the applicant has demonstrated their urgency and willingness to meet those requirements. They've submitted alternative landscaping and sensitive lands documentation has been included as well. Process for environmental health approval is in process, and electric utility use specific standards are being followed. And just let us know if there's any other questions.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Webb? Okay, we'll keep going then. Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Summerfelt with the Parks and Recreation Department. We have no comments or objections.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Sorry, I had a little technical difficulties there. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of October 15th, 2021. We have no objection.
Transportation.
Good morning, Jean Wiffenbarger with Transportation. I only had a few comments that I've already discussed with AECOM. Show clear site triangles for the accessway, use intersection site distance standards provided by the DPM, and provide the standard note for landscape height restrictions on both the site plan and landscape plan. Show existing bike trail and label its width. Also provide a driveway that will accommodate the bike trail, the bike route travel as well. Turnarounds shall be provided in front of the gates that match the standards shown in the notes I provided last night. And I just had a question also about whether large trucks are going to be accessing the site. If so, turning template design would be needed. If not, then I think it's sufficient.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Wolfenbarger from the applicant team? Ms. Wolfenbarger, it didn't sound like you have any items for an infrastructure list, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Planning.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. We need signature blocks for the DRB signature, solid waste signature, and environmental health signature to be added to the site plan prior to distribution of the site plan for DRB signatures. We need the project and application numbers to be added to the site plan prior to distribution of the site plan. As Madam Chair noted, regarding the landscape plan, we do need that sheet to be signed and sealed. We need all site plan sheets to be sealed and signed by a design professional. The alternative landscape plan must be approved prior to final sign off from planning. And because the site is located on a former landfill, the environmental health signature must be obtained on the site plan prior to final sign off from planning. And that concludes my comments. Thank you very much.
Okay, and Mr. Rodenbeck, just to help me, is there a 25-foot landscape buffer along University?
Let me go to the zoning for the site. Because this is an alternative landscape plan, I'm not sure if, Maggie, you can jump in here, but I'm not sure if we really looked at that requirement in depth, because this will be administratively approved.
Mr. Brito, can you? Ahead, Ms. Gold.
I was just going to say that the alternative landscaping plan wouldn't change the buffer requirements. And I believe if we go back to that site plan, and measure
they have,
it.
Significant landscaping.
Just eyeballing it, that's significant. The alternative landscape plan basically just allows you to move all of the required landscaping around the site. Without measuring, I can't be sure, but I think that looks like more than 25 feet.
Mr. Brito, can you confirm that? Or Mr. Medina?
Yes, Madam Chair. The depth of the landscape is at least 25 feet, and in some places well beyond 25 feet.
Yeah.
The walls of the substation are set back more than 50 feet, and so there's going to be a pretty wide landscape buffer along University.
And Mr. Brito, while I've got you going there, what is your wall height?
The wall height proposed for this critical substation is 14 feet tall. It's a security block wall and will have solid gates. The illustrative wall design that was included with the application is split face and smooth face block in a mountain motif design.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing that. Okay.
Yeah. And there will be a cap. It'll be an attractive wall behind the landscape buffer.
Okay. Thank you. And Ms. Gould, can you just check if we need to do anything about that? And I'm going to turn to Mr. BSR. I had his hand up.
Yes, Madam Chair. I had a couple of questions. The sidewalk, there's sidewalk, I'm assuming, along University Boulevard, and is the sidewalk all within city right away, or because I don't know, Jay, could you zoom in on in that area?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. You want me to just go to the
site plan?
Are you looking for existing sidewalk?
Yes, and I just was also looking at the site plan in relationship with the sidewalks. I'm assuming it's on the site plan. Can you bring this site plan back up, please? And zoom in into that area. So I wasn't sure if the sidewalk is within city right away or is it encroaching into the property? And are we going to need the sidewalk easements?
This is Jean with transportation. It appears that with that existing multi-use trail, we do need to have an easement in that case.
Okay, and then my other concern was just the entrance. I just wanted to make sure that landscaping will not create a clear sight distance issue as the trucks are leaving the facility or vehicles are leaving the facility.
And they'll be addressing the clear sight distance issue as well.
Okay. Now also for the, you know, for the trail.
Yes, they'll be modifying the trail for 2% cross slope. So
is the trail existing or is this proposed?
It's existing.
Okay. It's an existing trail easement or the trail, because I don't see an actual trail. Is there an existing trail?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, got it. Oh, there we go.
I'm pointing at it right there.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Thank you. All right, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gould, I don't know if you understood my telegraph, but I just want to make sure if there's anything needed for the 14-foot high wall that the applicant knows about it now. Is that a given its location, setback 50 feet, does it fall within the area of wall that the ZEO would need to approve for critical infrastructure?
This is Maggie Wilde, Madam Chair. Let me look at the use specific standards.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I was going to say, I believe Rob looked at that and I think they're covered.
Yeah, I believe their wall is acceptable, but.
Robert Webb, code enforcement. Yeah, the use specific standard calls out the particular wall height that Mr. Brito mentioned. So it shouldn't need additional approvals.
Okay, thank you. Great. Just want to make sure we get everything in order that you might need. All right, so it looks like we need some transportation work on this. And then it looks like, let me go back to Mr. Carter. You're the one person asking for an infrastructure list. Not to put you on the spot, but I'm just kind of wondering how to work through your items in a way that works for Water Authority.
This is Blaine for the Water Authority. At this point, it is a shorter, but still within the public right of way, a non-potable extension from a point 100 feet south of the site north. That would be a public non-potable water line. And then from there would be a water meter for the non-potable system. We have an ordinance that requires connection to that when it's within 200 feet. So I think that's pretty clear in terms of if you're getting an irrigation service, we have that available. There's a stub available. Connection to that particular line is required. So I don't see a way around that. Sitting here today, I'm open to speaking with the applicant. I know there's weird things that go on with landfills. If you're going to be putting water on it, though, I don't know that potable versus non-potable is going to have an impact on that. So that's right today. That's where I see it. I'd be happy to discuss process-wise how to get that done. For us, it would be a public line in the public right-of-way. So either a DRC or a Water Authority work order would be the, you know, review process for that actual construction.
Mr. BSR, could you weigh in here how you'd like to see that part of this move forward?
No, as far as needing an infrastructure list or not, I think I'll leave that to Water Authority, but I think we might be able to just process it through, like Mr. McLean mentioned, you know, through DRC process to get that done. And being it on infrastructure list or not, city being the underlying owner, most likely we end up getting a signature from aviation on that anyway. So it's technically will not really be financially guaranteed. So I'm not sure if that's gonna, and in this case, I think we could probably just go with without an infrastructure list if a water authority chooses to.
This is Blaine with 103. I'm not prepared to approve it today. I'm happy to discuss that with Chris Cadena, my supervisor, just to make sure if that's something we can do. I think at the end of the day, if you need a water meter, you have to have a line built. So I think there may be another route to do that. I can't approve it today, but I think that's something I can discuss in terms of would we feel comfortable going that route for this project, i.e. not having the infrastructure list or relying on the other process to get that done.
Okay, so Mr. Brito, what I'm hearing is we'd like to see you again. And do you think that could be worked out by next week? Let's see, I'm looking at 2022, by the 8th.
Madam Chair, I believe that Scott Medina with AECOM is ready and willing to discuss this with Mr. Carter at the Water Utility Authority, and if necessary, Chris Cadena, to get that worked out. And he is also working on addressing comments from transportation and planning for their items. And we will also make sure that we will get the landscape architect's stamp and signature on that design, and we'll make any applicable accommodations for any transportation adjustments, any easements, and I think we can do it in a week.
I'm sorry, the last sentence was?
Oh, I think we could get that done in a week, yes.
Okay, so it actually, as you might remember, it actually needs to be done by Friday. That's kind of the resubmittal deadline at noon on Friday. If you're more comfortable with December 15th, let me know.
I would defer to Scott Medina to see what timeline works for him.
Okay. Mr. Medina, what I was trying to emphasize is that resubmittal information is due at noon on Fridays for the DRB the next week. So in order for us to look at an approval on December 8th, we would have to have things in by Friday at noon. Otherwise, December 15th is open.
No, we believe we can have all that ready by Friday.
Okay. Is there a motion to defer item 1 to December 8th?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, approve the motion.
Robert Webb, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 1, PR 2020-4447, SI 2021-1885 to December 8th.